An event coming up Wednesday, November 5th, the world premiere new films from the Colorado Springs Youth Documentary Academy. By way of the Colorado Springs Fine Arts Center, 10 students will premiere their works on that evening. I'm speaking to Tom Shepherd, founder and director of the Colorado Springs Youth Documentary Academy, and also two of the 10 filmmakers, Will Sobolik. His project is The Opening Act, about local music, and also Destiny Render. Her project is 1 in 6, about violence against women. And welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Tom, tell us a little bit about the program itself. How did it start, and what is the process
with these
student filmmakers?
So the Youth Documentary Academy is an intensive 6.5-week documentary training academy for high school-aged youth in Colorado Springs. And for basically 6.5 weeks, students come and learn all aspects of documentary filmmaking, from kind of taking a story idea and translating that into a real kind of filmable moment, to going out and shooting, editing, and then kind of bringing their film to fruition, and then finally kind of bringing their film out into the community. And so within that period of time, each student gets to direct their own film, but they also get to experience all the roles of production, including director of photography, camera, sound, lighting. So it's an intensive program. It's a huge commitment, but we think it's pretty great. And also the students are able to, in their projects, locate themes for their films that in many cases are very kind of close to their own lived experience. And that, of course, is a really big deal in documentary access. And we were just hugely impressed by how the students were able to kind of take stories that mattered to them and make them matter to a general audience.
Let's touch a little bit on your background, Tom. How did you come to be doing this? Are you an educator, firstly, or a filmmaker?
New to teaching, actually. I'm more a documentary filmmaker, but I grew up in the Springs. Actually, my great-grandparents settled in the Springs in the 30s, and my grandmother worked for Alexander Film, a place I know you worked at one point.
Yes, many moons ago.
So I have pretty deep roots here, and I come back often. I live in San Francisco now, but I've been making kind of social issue documentary films for about 20 years, and I started teaching a class over at the Fine Arts Center in Bemis, and we started kind of crafting, like, what would happen if we created a real training academy for youth to actually have access to high-end equipment and be able to make films. Because I think a lot of young people are very familiar with cameras. It's, you know, they're on their phones. But giving them also the storytelling competencies and then access to all this great equipment and some really good instructors, it's pretty cool what they've come up with.
Well, these days, just about everyone has a camera in their back pocket. You may have mentioned this already, but there's no charge for these classes. The students are picked out, and it's a free course, essentially?
From the get-go, we had a commitment to providing a tuition-free program. So we have a fairly rigorous application process, these guys can tell you. Had to fill out quite a lot of essays, not only about their interest in film, but also issues that they might want to explore in documentary form. And then they were all interviewed pretty intensely as well. And so each student who gets into the program gets all of this tuition free, and that's something that we're committed to doing and keeping in this program for years to come.
Destiny Render, your video is 1 in 6. Could you tell me about your project and why you chose this particular subject, violence against women?
Well, my mom is very active with the CSPD, and she's always telling me stories about how people don't think something's going to happen to them, and it happens. And so I wanted to get the word out of stalking. People hear about stalking, but nobody actually thinks it's going to happen to them. And I wanted to explore a real life story of stalking so people can understand what it's like and what they could do to not be a victim.
The lady who instructs the course, she had personal experience with a man who was at the time her husband. So that's what precipitated her teaching the course?
Yes, that was Doris, and she had a really inspiring story. Even after being stalked, she was able to bounce back, and she actually teaches self-defense to women right now to prevent future victims.
You're going to Pikes Peak Community College right now. What are you taking there?
I'm going to be getting an associate's degree in theater at Pikes Peak, and then eventually moving on to UCCS for my degree in film.
Great. Will Sobolik, The Opening Act, about local music. What made you choose that subject?
Well, I thought that music generally is just something that everybody can connect to on some level. I've grown up around local music, and it's something that I was just particularly interested in. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to get the musicians themselves, I wanted to get their perspective on what music means to them and how they define personal success as a musician. So that was just something that really struck me about the subject matter.
Who are the groups that you interviewed?
The first musician in the documentary, his name is Austin Richman. He's kind of a family friend of mine. I call him a one-man band, sort of. He does everything. He plays guitar, he plays bass, and he uses a lot of technology in his work. But he also plays acoustic in coffee houses, things like that. Mm. So he's an indie artist. Then there's...
The guys with the face paint.
Right, yeah, the guys with the face paint. Can't forget them. They were characters.
Well, sometimes that's what it takes to get you noticed.
Yeah, they were, their name was Suspension 9. They define themselves as industrial music, and they were just really interesting people to talk to, I mean, at a first glance. And one thing they said in the documentary was how, at a first glance, you wouldn't expect them to be very happy people. They have, like, this really dark look, this goth look. But then they're, I don't know, they're just having a blast on stage. They're just doing what they love to do, regardless of how, quote-unquote, successful they are. But they were really talented as well. And then the third musician in the documentary is Maria Mandico. Maria Mandico is her name, and... She took a lot of inspiration personally from her grandmother, and her whole segment was shot at her grandmother's house. It was a beautiful home, and it was a great place to shoot. But she's a classical artist. She plays flute and piano, and she was a music major in college and had no doubt throughout her years of music that she was going to do that for a living.
And like Destiny, you're also going to Pikes Peak Community College?
Yes, I am.
What are you going to major in?
I'm doing a 2-year program right now, actually. It's very concentrated on graphic design and how it's very concentrated on just that subject matter for now. From there, I plan to kind of move on to perhaps UCCS or PPCC, just kind of move on into film, just like visual arts in general are what really interest me.
Now, here's a question for both of you. Since you've done a documentary as your first project, do you think you'd gravitate toward another documentary or fictional films?
I have a real passion for fictional films, but I would like to continue doing documentaries on the side with my fictional films and just explore both genres.
How about you?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. And also, I don't consider myself a documentary filmmaker, really, but this program really showed me how much, I guess, correspondence there is from narrative filmmaking to documentary. Like, with documentary filmmaking, there's a lot of, with this program particularly, we learned a lot of elements that can be used in narrative filmmaking.
Yeah.
Like, we are telling stories, and that's the whole point of fiction as well. So, I don't know, I was really surprised that I was able to enjoy making a documentary, considering I didn't really have much experience in that particular genre to begin with.
Excellent. And getting back to you, Tom, what if a young person or parent wants to find out more about this film course through the Bemis Art School and the Colorado Springs Fine Arts Center?
Yeah, we're actually looking forward to expanding the program this year, 2015 and 2016. So applications for the next summer session of 2015 will be available at the Bemis School of Art in January. And just to kind of pick up on what Destiny and Will were saying about story, I think, you know, when we were these guys' age, I know documentary was sort of perceived
as... Back in the Stone Age.
Yeah, very kind of like educational with a capital E. Good for you know, I don't know if you remember those film strips in the eighth grade. And I just think it's a really interesting time right now in our culture where the form is very fluid and very fresh. And these guys brought very, very innovative and fresh ideas to their storytelling. And I think what I'm hearing them talk about it is that it's a very dynamic medium and not unlike fiction filmmaking or narrative filmmaking in that we use so many of the same...
Similar
storytelling elements, three-act structures, conflict resolution, all that kind of stuff. And so it was pretty great to see how they wanted to approach each of their topics and that they had kind of a lot to choose from, you know, in their toolkit.
Well, and the technology these days makes things, allows you to be more creative, both the software for editing and the cameras as well.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah. The cameras that they use in our program are pretty much industry standard HD cameras. So their work is sort of broadcast ready for most PBS stations, for instance, or something like HBO. And I think you're right. I think also the editing systems that we have now and the software that allows you to really kind of think outside of the box, because you can try things so much more quickly now. In the old days, you had to do everything in a linear fashion. And even sometimes cut the tape, you know, with a razor blade and then stitch it together again with tape. And so these guys got to really play in the sandbox for, you know, 2-3 weeks in the edit room to explore the material that they'd shot. And I think that, I don't know what you guys think, but I think it allows you to open your mind a little bit more in your imagination. I know you both were very creative directors in the edit room in terms of how your pieces came together.
I've been speaking to Tom Shepard, founder and director of the Colorado Springs Youth Documentary Academy, by way of the Bemis School of Art and the Colorado Springs Fine Arts Center. Also, two of the 10 filmmakers who will be premiering their works on Wednesday, November 5th at 7 p.m. Will Sobolik, whose project is the opening act, and Destiny Render. Hers is 1 and 6. This will be at the Sagaji Theater.
The main theater.
The main theater at the Colorado Springs Fine Arts Center.
And you recommend those who want more information about the premiere to go to the Fine Arts Center website, csfineartscenter.org.
They've just put up a website for YDA, and and you can get all the information about it. It's a free event. We're accepting donations. We have a suggested donation, but we're looking forward to seeing many of the community come out on Wednesday.
csfineartscenter.org. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you.